Why CSI may be fantasy forensics, storytelling can contain solid science too. Fans of Sherlock Holmes will be celebrating Arthur Conan Doyle's birthday this week, his 151st, by the way, and no one more so than crime historian E.J. Wagner. She's studied the authenticity of the great detective's techniques, and our resident sleuth, David Booth, donned his deerstalker to find out more.
By telling exciting stories in which science was important, he got the public's imagination on fire with it. Up until that point, I think the general public really didn't know very much about science as a crime-fighting technique. If you look at the Jack the Ripper case, which was the same period, and what a complete mess the crime scene investigation was, with everyone and their brother-in-law scrolling through the scene. Evidence was not labeled properly. Bodies were taken to a mortuary where, according to the testimony, the mortuary keeper was subject to fits and couldn't remember anything, was completely untrained. I mean, all this sort of thing was what was before. The Sherlock Holmes stories, I think, made it very clear to the public that more was needed, more organization, more science. This was a good thing. It was worthwhile spending time, money, and educational services on.
Conan Doyle himself, of course, would have been quite a scientist.
He was a physician. He was well trained by an excellent faculty, and particularly by Dr. Joseph Bell, of course, who was a very famous anatomist and surgeon, upon whom he based a lot of the character of Sherlock Holmes. You know, there really is no such thing as quote-unquote forensic science. It's a group of sciences and techniques which are applied to jurisprudence, to the law. Because we've got everything from forensic pathology, which has got a very long history, which is very rooted, of course, in medicine and science, toxicology, which is a branch of chemistry, and then things like trace evidence, which is more of a technique, which is compared, a certain way of looking at things, a structured way of asking questions and collecting information and applying it. There's a whole range of things that go into what we refer to now as forensic science.
Where did Doyle and Holmes get the science right, and where did they get the science wrong?
Well, when Holmes says that people overlook footprints quite a lot, he was right on the money. At the period that Doyle was writing that, we tended to overlook footprints. When we did look at them, we didn't do a very good job. There was a whole period where burglars would deliberately put shoes on that were much too big to leave a false footprint. So he was right when he said we needed to pay more attention to footprints. He was certainly right about fingerprints. He was right about examining everything at the scene of a crime, collecting evidence very clearly. He was very right about that. Where he was wrong, well, he does make a couple of mistakes in anthropology. In one place, he mistakes a rabbit bone for a human being. But generally speaking, his basic principles were right, where he said you measure everything, you keep track of every detail. It's the little detail that he has an eye for which makes all the difference, even today.
And of course, the characters themselves were fastidious note takers.
Oh, of course. Well, in Holmes' day, they could have one man who did a great many different things in the forensic world. Today, we don't really do that. In today's forensic world, we've got a pathologist who determines the cause and manner of death. We have toxicologists, chemists, who determine if there was a poison present and what drugs were in the system of the deceased. Back in Holmes' day, it was very different. This was all one field. Most pathologists also practiced chemistry and toxicology. It was really much more under one roof. So one can only wonder what Mr. Holmes would be doing if he were operating today.
I think they actually had a pretty good version of him in The Wire, a logician, a disguise artist, and a computer scientist.
Well, if you want to just be fanciful, think of the gentleman who noticed the car spewing smoke on Times Square just recently. They said that he was a vendor of T-shirts. Are you sure?
He could be a reincarnation of Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes. Well, yeah. There's a thought.
Crime historian E.J. Wagner on the immortal Sherlock Holmes.